T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for the Nightcap.
Who are you talking to right now? Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No, I am the one who knocks.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR. Derek, can we get some breaking news, music in here? Because there is something that's happened. It's not major, so don't get too excited. But, you know, it's a thing that could impact the Buff. That is not breaking news. That is my beloved Vikings horn. That is my beloved Vikings horn. Brayton Wilson on Twitter says that Lawrence Pilot has been taken out of the Rochester Americans lineup for tonight. All right. Could Lawrence Pilot be on his way to the West Coast?
Possibly, because Zach Bogosian and Nathan Beaulieu both were not capable of practicing today. Or not capable, they were not at practice.
Pilot looks good too. He's top five in the AHL in points, so he'd be the guy. Brendan Gooley struggled a little bit, so maybe Lawrence Pilot is set to make his NHL debut in the next few games, potentially. Maybe even tomorrow afternoon. Sabres play 3:30 against the Los Angeles Kings, an afternoon game for the Sabres. They were just bad last night. Just bad. Beginning to end. It's a great team you're playing, the San Jose Sharks. I think that's going to be the Stanley Cup winner at the end of the year. So, you get a little pass on that front, but wow, they just never had the puck. They always chip and chase. They're never a team that seems like they're carrying the puck into the zone unless it's Jack Eichel, Mittelstadt, or Jeff Skinner. Those three guys will do it. Everybody else, dump it in, go get it. And that's not today's NHL. It's not what works in today's game. So, we got the Sabres struggling. We got the Bills ready to play on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. How important a game is this? 1 to 10. How important a game is this?
I don't know. I think when it comes to importance, there is some different aspects to it that we really have to look into in the grand scheme of things. Does this season really matter if Derek Anderson is starting at quarterback? I don't know. I feel like the fan interest will kind of be at a lower point. We don't even have Josh Allen to evaluate right now. So, but at the same time, I personally think that Allen could benefit from sitting a couple of games out and learning from the sidelines and from the press box and from the film room and everything of the sort without having to get his butt kicked by defenders. But importance?
To me, it's a two.
I was going to say a four.
To me, it's a two. I give him two because, you know, there is the slight chance that if they win tomorrow on Sunday, maybe they can make a season out of this and maybe they could start to get into that playoff race. You don't have Allen in there. I don't really see any future with any of those guys in the offense that's not named Deion Dawkins in terms of those that are playing tomorrow. And maybe, you know what, the defense is worth evaluating.
Defense is enjoyable, right? Straight up.
And that's going to be around. Like, those, Latulé is going to be around. Edmonds is going to be around. Milano, Hyde, Poyer, White, staples on that defense, that are going to be around with Buffalo for a while. But I don't know, you don't have Josh Allen to evaluate. I'm not a believer that this team is going to be competitive late in the season. It's not a very important game to me. personally, and what this team is, because I am in. They can change this. If they win next week, I mean, they're probably not beating New England, so I'll stop short of that. But if you win two of your next three games, and you can change people's perspective that are thinking long-term right now. A lot of us are thinking about long-term when it comes to the Bills, like myself. If they put together a few wins, they still do have the opportunity to change people into thinking about the short-term again. And they had us doing that after the Vikings win, and no, it just kind of, it's went away a little bit because of the loss to Houston. It's went away a little bit because you're a big underdog against a 1-5 football team, which is kind of embarrassing in itself. And the quarterback situation has been bungled so much that that has kind of consumed what we're talking about here. It's not, the past few years, you know what you've been getting, you know you could do better, but you have had a quarterback in place that, there was no controversy. Like, we knew who was going to start, and we knew week in and week out who was playing quarterback for the Bills. And how good he was always up for debate. But the quarterback situation itself was really never up for debate. And this year has kind of been different than the past few years. Like, when's the last time we had a true quarterback competition, a true quarterback controversy, where you had people on different sides wanting this guy to start and other people wanting this guy to start? You probably have to. We were done with EJ by the time Orton took over. I guess the preseason with Manuel and Castle and Tyrod, that is a situation there. But before that, I mean, you're going back to Edwards and Fitzpatrick, maybe. Or Edwards and Lossman. Like, that's kind of what this feels like to me. This feels like, especially with Allen out, there are still people out there, amazingly, that think Nathan Peterman should start for this team on Sunday.
Every time I hear a call like that, it hurts my soul.
It's amazing. But yeah, there are still people out there that want Nathan Peterman to start at quarterback for this team. And there are those who want Derek Anderson to start for this team. Can I be honest? I'd almost, and not for, if you're the Bills and you want to win football games, and you want to look competent in offense, your best course of action is to start Derek Anderson. No question to me. From a pure entertainment point of view, and as someone who does not think this team has a realistic shot of making the playoffs this season, I'll sit here and say I would like to see them start Nathan Peterman on Sunday. Because, first of all, it can't get any worse. I wouldn't expect it. I would not expect it to look better. But it can't get any worse.
Can it?
And you know what? Here's the thing. If you're going to be bad, be bad. Don't middle it. Be bad. Now, they're not at the point where they're thinking in that mode yet, and that's understandable. But I'm there. I'm ready to start the guy who, honestly, it's just like a shot in the dark. It's a shot in the dark, but you kind of know what's going to happen.
It actually hurts my eyes to watch him play football now.
It's more interesting to me if Nathan Peterman's in this game, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Why isn't it?
Because it's just terrible. There's nothing interesting
about it.
Right,
that's interesting. When he's
at some point, it just becomes miserable.
Yes, we're already there.
At one point, it could be entertainingly bad. And for me, that was kind of where it was at with the Chargers game. That Baltimore game? Dreadful. Was so painful to watch. It took forever to get through that game. It felt like you just couldn't make it end soon enough. I will never, ever want to have that happen for this team again for this season. For the love of God.
But see, the other thing is, like, the Charger game, for instance. He throws 5.5 picks, and you knew you were going to lose the game. Part of me, not the whole part of me, because part of me just wanted to be over and, like, put the guy that deserved to be in back in. Part of me was like, I kind of want to see how many he'll throw. I kind of want to see how bad this can really, really get.
Yes, but at the same time, after we've gotten to that point now.
Yeah, no, I know. We're past that. But
that Baltimore game was just so dreadful.
I guess the real question is, if Josh Allen's healthy, is Nathan Peterman on this team right now? Because they've proven with this decision this week that Derek Anderson's the backup. And maybe the only reason that Peterman is even active last week, where he can come into that game and lose it for you at the end, is because Derek Anderson had only been with the team for a few days and he was not up to speed. Right? That's pretty much the big reason, it seems, that Nathan Peterman was active for that game.
I would agree.
So the question becomes, when Josh Allen gets healthy, is Nathan Peterman on this team? I think your answer should be no.
My answer is probably not. And then I would also say, though, as a caveat, he probably finds his way on the Bills practice squad because McDermott.
That's right. And a lot of our discussions in the offseason, this season, the draft, not really the draft, actually, it's all been about our starting quarterback, right? And a big reason the Bills have been a joke in a lot of national circles, deserve or not, has been what their plan has been at backup quarterback. It's been Nathan Peterman. And that's gone horribly wrong. Now, think about this. If you had had a guy in place, C.J. Beathard, for instance, they didn't really have an opportunity to draft Beathard, I don't think. He was a third-round pick. Went way higher than he was supposed to. People had him going like the sixth round, right? Am I remember that correctly? Out of Iowa, Beathard was supposed to go like late in that draft.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a day three guy.
Yeah, and he went third round. So let's just, for instance, say the Bills draft C.J. Beathard instead of Nathan Peterman. Well, first of all, that Charger game probably does not go as bad as it goes. That was historically bad. And Beathard's look at least competent. Like, he's a backup quarterback in the NFL, it looks like. And, you know, they've made a misjudgment with Peterman by starting him week one of this season. But his existence on the team, in large part, through 2 years, has been to be the team's backup quarterback. And that's gone horribly wrong whenever he's had to come into the game or, you know, when they were looking for an upgrade last year and just kind of throwing something blindly, throwing a dart at the board and hoping, okay, maybe he's better. And it just went horribly wrong. So what does that position become? Because Derek Anderson's a 36-year-old quarterback that by what it looked like going into this year was done. He was not going to be playing football in 2019. It seemed that way. He was on vacation last week, got a call from the Bills, like, oh, I can't come back right now, but next week I can be there. And he's a 36-year-old guy. Peterman should not be destined to be this team's backup quarterback. And it's not just about Allen anymore. They have to prove that they can evaluate the whole quarterback position. And Allen is here. So if you're going to have a bad offensive line, and you're going to have a quarterback that likes to jump over linebackers, as awesome as that is, then you know what you're going to have to do? I think it would probably be a good idea, and this doesn't have to be names that are available right now. This doesn't have to be Colin Kaepernick, because that's a whole other discussion. This doesn't have to be trading for somebody. This can be, all right, can you at least show, after the year, with Allen in place, that we're going to make sure that our backup quarterback situation has been better than ever. Because, I don't know, at least through a lot of the drought, I think back to when Ryan Fitzpatrick's the team's starting quarterback, and it's Tyler Thigpen as the backup. Like, just a guy that instills no confidence in you. And after that, like, it's Matt Castle for a few games, a guy that instills no confidence in you. And who's after Matt Castle backing up Tyrod that year? I can't even remember. Who's the backup in 2015 after they trade Castle? EJ. EJ's the backup.
Yeah.
EJ does not instill any confidence in you to come in.
EJ at least won a game on a comeback drive before, and he's, you know, he's shown.
That was Fred Jackson running for 50 of the 60
yards. I'm talking about the Carolina game.
That's what I'm saying. He threw a screen pass that, like, 80% of the yards on that drive. Like, he gets a lot of credit for that drive, but it was a lot of yards after catch, and it was Stevie Johnson coming wide open because Carolina was
He still at least could show some random flashes. Peterman never has shown anything to me other than one random touchdown pass that can really go ahead and instill any sort of hope or confidence that he can at least hold over a game for you, let alone a quarter. Because remember, all it took was a quarter.
So I guess my question is to Derek, to the audience here, 803-0550 is the phone number. How much do you want the Bills to invest in that backup quarterback position? Do you want that to be a priority of theirs? A move similar to what the Saints did. And the Saints is a kind of a weird team for this. Because first of all, they have Taysom Hill, who they love to use in other packages that isn't just being a backup quarterback. They went out and they added Teddy Bridgewater. The Raiders traded for A.J. McCarron. The Cardinals brought in two veteran quarterbacks to go with their rookie. They had Sam Bradford, and then they brought in Mike Glennon. So, you know, there's going to be quarterbacks out there, and I think you have to move on from Peterman. I don't think you can trust him to be your backup quarterback anymore, because you'll get situations like this today, this week, where he loses you a game right before, and now you have to consider playing a guy that was on the street 2 weeks ago.
Not even consider. You are. My answer would be yes. You absolutely have to invest into this position. The Saints is a little different. I think that they are looking with one eye into the future in case Breeze does retire this year. Then they have their stopgap. And that's what I think they view Bridgewater as.
You think it's more than backup?
It's more than backup for them.
I think it could be some of that, but don't you think it also could be the Saints maybe looking at the Eagles, for instance, for last year. And the Eagles, you know, they lose their starting quarterback, but their backup position was so solidified that they were still capable of winning a Super Bowl. Maybe the Saints thought to themselves, we don't want to, we pray this does not happen. But maybe they sit in a meeting and they say to themselves, if Breeze goes down tomorrow, how good a team are we? And they probably sit in that room and tell themselves, we're actually a really bad team. And maybe they decide, all right, we'll go get a guy like Bridgewater, because praying this doesn't happen. But if Drew Breeze goes down to injury, that team with Teddy Bridgewater is still a playoff team.
I will say this. I think that for the Saints in particular, it was more an eye on the future. They don't have a first-round pick next year. If Breeze retires, they need to have a guy under center. They have that now. They have their break glass in case of emergency. That's what Bridgewater is.
I guess I just want... I want the Bills to show me that they don't just... They value the position, obviously. They traded away how many assets to be able to get up and draft Josh Allen. But it seems to me they didn't respect the depth at the position. They didn't respect what they had around the rookie coming in. They sat out and waited for the last guy to be available in free agency. They let Bridgewater sign. They let McCown sign. They let Keenum and Cousins at the top. They let those guys sign. They let Bradford sign. And they said, oh, we'll just sit here, we'll chill, and we'll grab the guy that's left over. And that ended up being A.J. McCarron. And I'm just kind of scrolling through free agency here, and there's a lot of names that are going to be there that would absolutely, to me, be upgrades at the backup quarterback position. Maybe Derek Anderson comes in, looks pretty good, and maybe he decides and the Bills decide we're going to do this for one more year because he's a capable backup. He's been that for 7 years in Carolina. But he's an older quarterback, and we don't really know if he would even want to continue to play football. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be out there. We've done that dance, but that would be cool. I don't know if he'd get his number back. The McCowns are out there. The RG3s. The Osweilers. You see what Miami's doing. Miami went out. They added a guy that, yeah, has been a joke in the NFL as a starter. But he's a real NFL quarterback. Brock Osweiler. He beat the Patriots once. To me, that's you qualify as a real NFL quarterback if you've beaten the Patriots. And he was able to have a 380-yard game. Is that going to happen again? Almost absolutely not. But there are bodies out there that are respectable quarterbacks that you don't get laughed at for starting. And the Bills are in a spot where they're on plan E or F. How far down the list are we? They signed McCarron. I'm sure they would have liked that to work out. That didn't work. They had Peterman around. They probably would have liked that to work. It didn't. They had Josh Allen drafted. They probably would have liked him still starting and not gotten injured. That hasn't come to fruition. They're a little bit down the list now. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're talking quarterbacks and how the Bills got here. Let's go to Ryan and Charlotte. Ryan, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Hey, how we doing?
I'm good. How about you?
This is probably a long shot. I know they like him, but any shot you think we could trade some draft capital to snag Chad Kelly from Denver?
I think you can't, and the reason is, I think you said it there, they like him. I think they probably plan on him being their backup quarterback for years.
Yeah, I think that that's what that looks like there. And, I mean, even if it were to be the case, I'd still be a little weary on that.
I'd take him as my backup quarterback right now.
I mean, I would when it comes to strictly on the field. But any time that he's been in Buffalo, he's been in trouble off the field.
Yeah, but when he was like 16, 17.
Even after that.
Just a little bit.
Mature. Involved in a brawl in a high school game.
You never know. Guys mature.
I know, but it's just like, eh.
I'd wonder about where he is right now in terms of all of that. But yeah, on the field, I would absolutely take him right now, I think, as my backup. Maybe it would go as poorly as the Peterman thing went. He's never played in a regular season game. It doesn't have to go good. He doesn't have to be better than even Nathan Peterman, although he probably would be. Corey Bohorquez has a better quarterback rating this season. Think about that. Corey Bohorquez, you remember what his pass attempt was? He thought it was a fake punt, but nobody else did, and then he threw it up to nobody because no one had run a route and it was almost intercepted. He's got a better quarterback rating on the season. I'd like them to just show me really overall you know what you're doing with that position, because they readily admit that it's a quarterback league, but they have yet to prove that they then know what to do with it. And if Allen works out, all of this sounds stupid. Kind of like me saying Josh Rosen, I would take him 1,000 times over last night over Josh Allen. Which,
yeah,
by the way,
timing,
I would still absolutely do. The timing looked
timing
awful on
was
that.
Terrible on
yeah,
that.
But I would still take him. But yeah, that went poorly. He was really bad last night. He was awful, in fact.
Josh
Rosen's worst game is now worse than Josh Allen's worst game, I would say.
Josh Allen doesn't have any pick sixes in the NFL.
Not yet.
You're right. You're right, though. I'm right, too.
Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
How are we doing, guys?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. So I had a question as far as, like, the draft. Since we did trade all that draft capital to go and get somebody at that position, mm-hmm. we go and get somebody else in this upcoming draft. Now, obviously not in day one or day two, but I'm talking about way later in the draft.
They're like, well, what round are we talking about here? Like, what range?
I wouldn't anticipate them, since they did get Josh in the first, I wouldn't anticipate them doing anything until maybe the fifth round or something, even lower than that.
I wonder even if they would want to do something earlier than that. Maybe not round two, but maybe like three, maybe four. I don't know.
Maybe get teams your boy Jared Stidham.
I don't think you're getting him. Scouts love him. Scouts mm-hmm. love him.
Sure, if scouts love him, then scouts must be dopes.
If some of these quarterbacks aren't coming out either, he's going first round.
He's not going first round. He's bad. Actually bad.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Actually not good.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
You can do that with a fourth or fifth round pick, probably.
Beautiful. I'll do it in the second.
No. That's just...
I'd do it in the second. I love him.
Respect the range, Joe.
I love him.
Respect the range. That's why you don't have draft capital to spend.
Hey, I'll tell you, I pointed out some quarterbacks in the past that have turned out to be pretty good.
All right,
I was on to RG3. Like, I know that didn't continue, but I was on to RG3 like 2 years before he was even drafted.
I will say, though, based on your timing with Rosen yesterday, Stidham probably throwing three interceptions tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
Thus lowering him to the fifth round.
At this point, if I say a quarterback's going to be good, he probably will be bad.
Thus lowering him to the fifth round, and it's all part of your master plan.
That's right. 803-0550 is the phone number. Talking quarterbacks and the Bills here on the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer, more next here on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR. What'd you watch last night, Derek? A lot of sports on. Ton of sports.
I decided to have no life and actually stayed here at the studios well after my shift was over to hang out with Brian and Cave and Paul and TJ.
So you watch the Sabres.
And John. And we all hung out here.
And you watched the Sabres.
And we watched the Sabres lose 5-1.
So I went from the football game until 10:30, which is when a lot of stuff was starting, because I just wasn't going to go to baseball. Just unless it's the World Series, I'm not really normally getting to baseball. And Sabres game started, and I don't know. I kept flicking to LeBron's debut for the Lakers, and I couldn't stay away from it. There's a moment in the game where it's LeBron's first points as a Laker. It's a wide-open slam dunk, and he just throws it down, and he yells, and he's all pumped up. And then this is at Portland, and their star player, Damian Lillard, comes right back on the next possession, and he throws down a monster dunk, and then he's all pumped up and fired up. And then the next possession, Rondo for the Lakers throws it to LeBron, who takes it coast-to-coast and throws down a monster dunk and then goes nuts again. So three dunks in a row on three possessions. It's like Lillard, LeBron one-ups the Portland, then Lillard one-ups LeBron, and LeBron's like, I'm getting that right back. So that I went Sabres probably 40%, that NBA game 60%. Mostly because of the hockey game.
NBA,
it was 2-0 early, so.
NBA petty wars is the level of petty that many people should aspire to get to.
Drama.
If they are really angry about something.
Drama. You gotta love it. Ooh, you gotta love it. I love it's a reality show. The NBA is not, it's a reality show. And it's kind of stinks that you know the ending already, and that's why I probably will rarely watch another regular season game this season. I'll watch just a handful. But I won't really care about who wins because we all know the Golden State Warriors are going to win at the end. So I don't really know. Like, what's better? To have all of those mega stars, to have those super teams where every time they're on TV, you know you're wanting, that's must-see TV because it's the best in the world. And you know you're getting, that's the other thing. You know you're getting, especially LeBron in the NBA, you know you're getting a performance. You know you're getting something good. NFL, you don't really know that. Broncos Cardinals got ugly quick and it was not entertaining. NHL Sabres were down early. You didn't know you were going to get something entertaining. You didn't know that was going to deliver. Even the Sharks Stars. I don't know. I didn't watch the whole game like I said, but I didn't really notice Erik Karlsson very much. You don't know the Stars in that sport are going to deliver. You know, if you turn on the Lakers and you turn on the NBA, you know you're going to see LeBron James perform.
Only thing I'm going to correct you on is
for the Warriors.
I did notice Erik Karlsson last night.
He did, but like I said, I didn't see the whole game, so I must have missed some of it. That's not true. I did see one filthy deke he had coming into the zone and then maybe passed it off, so maybe I saw him once.
He put Pominville on wheels and also great first assist on their first goal. So,
The power play.
Yeah
I didn't see the two goals.
Karlsson
I went to the NBA game to see the intros, and then I was maybe gone for 2 minutes. I come back up. It's 2-0.
Yeah, Oposo whacked a guy in the face. He was bleeding. 4-minute power play. They score on both of them. And
tremendous.
But then the Sabres still had a chance to come back. It was 2-1 after the end of the second.
I did see that. I saw the Jake McCabe goal.
So that's their fault. They blew it in the third period.
Great night in sports last night. Not much else. Not much going on tonight. Let's get to Brian Baldinger now. He was on with Howard and Jeremy this morning. Film guy, NFL Network, and he had a lot to say on the Bills. And here's Brian Baldinger with the guys from this morning.
Breaking down things in the NFL. That's what Brian Baldinger does for NFL Network. He is joining us right now on our AT&T hotline. He had some great things this week to say about the Bills' defense, and we're going to talk about that with him. Brian, it's Howard and Jeremy. Thanks for coming on with us this morning, first of all.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
So I'll get to the good stuff first. We'll save the offense and the stress for a little bit later in the interview. Well, you know, you were looking at some of the clips from the Houston game, and you tweeted out this week, you love watching this Bills defense. Why? What stands out to you?
I think just how hard they play, how consistently hard they play. You know, they obviously the offense has struggled, you know, in every category. But I just think they take the field and – you know, from that Minnesota game on, it's been every single week now. When I watch them, I watch guys get to the ball. I see them punch the ball out. I see them hit the quarterback. I see a strong and deep defensive line get up the field and get out to the quarterback. Just all categories of watching them play defense, man. I think they're any team that plays them, they're in for a long, hard day.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's funny. I think the pass rush, to your point about the defensive line, it isn't one or two guys that they're leaning on. They're getting contributions from all the starters. They're getting contributions from guys off the bench. And, Brian, they've been able to generate pass rush without having to blitz. They can get to the quarterbacks, get pressures, sacks with four-man rushes.
I agree. I mean, obviously, you know, Jerry Hughes has been doing that for a while there. But, you know, some of the younger guys have been doing well. Lawson's come on. I mean, I just think that, you know, they're in a good rotation right now. The way that they use Lorenzo Alexander, they have been using him. He's been a key guy. And so I think that they could do it in a lot of different ways right now. You know, Phillips is a young guy that I think has got a real chance. So, I mean, I just – it really doesn't even matter, you know, what the number on the back of the jersey is. We know what Kyle Williams has been doing for a long time, but it's good to see him healthy out there and playing the way he usually does.
I can't put off the offense much longer, I suppose, because one of the storylines is, because the defense has looked so good these last four games, there's a frustration here, Brian, that it's being wasted because the offense is unbelievably bad.
It is. Guys, I just remember that third preseason game against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati still
stands out of my mind.
Yep.
Where, I mean, Josh Allen, he gets a chance to start that day, if I remember correctly. And they were just awful up front. And it was all categories. I mean, they couldn't win the line of scrimmage on any given play, and it's been consistently bad. So, you know, Josh Allen on the shelf right now, it's too bad. I mean, it's hard to win games in this league playing a rookie quarterback. We saw from Josh Rosen last night.
Yep.
I like a lot of things about Josh Allen. I mean, I just like his maturity, and I like how calm he is, and I like his size. I mean, I like a lot of things about him, but there's just very little around him right now. And, you know, this Sunday is going to be another test. But it starts up front. I just think that they really neglected the offensive line throughout the offseason, and I don't think they've done a good job of developing the guys that they have there. I mean, I just think it's just hard to build any kind of an offense if you can't start there first.
I wanted to ask you about Allen, and I thought you had an interesting tweet about Josh Rosen. It was a rough night for him last night, and you tweeted something about it gets to the idea of the struggles of a rookie quarterback trying to transition in the National Football League, starting as a rookie, and you brought up Jeff George. You had time with Jeff George. What are some of the biggest issues for guys like Rosen and Allen and Mayfield and Darnold when it comes to having to start as a rookie quarterback?
Well, the complexity of NFL defense is completely different. The windows that you get to throw into are different. You can't run. You can take pieces of college offenses. You can throw some bubble screens. I mean, you could do some of college offense, but, you know, you're going to have to play action. You're going to have to take 7-step drops. You're going to be in 3rd and 12. You're going to have to hold the ball longer than you did in college. You know, I mean, I like Baker Mayfield a lot, and I think he's played really well. It'd be good if he had some receivers that could catch. But, you know, I mean, if you just went back and watched Baker at Oklahoma, he goes entire games without getting hit. You know, and so now that doesn't happen in the NFL. That never happens in the NFL. So what are you going to do when you get hit? You know, how do you throw the ball? Is the ball going to pop up in the air? Are you going to be able to drive it? I mean, there's just so many different things. It's just a completely different game. And, you know, Jeff George could still throw the ball through a tire as well as anybody in the league at 50-something years old right now. But, you know, I mean, gosh, just watch him in practice as a rookie. His head was spinning. And, you know, just remembering the plays and where everybody is supposed to be and getting guys lined up and all those different things with pre-snap motion and pre-snap reads. I mean, it was difficult for him.
With that being said, let me ask you this. You know, Allen's out. Nobody wanted to see him injured. But clearly he wasn't ready to play, and he was really struggling with everything, some of the things you just brought up. So do you – we've talked about the idea of – being on the field is a valuable experience, even if you're struggling, because you are seeing the defenses. You are forced to learn in your decision-making. How do you balance it out, Brian? Can Josh Allen being out for two or three games, is there still a way he can benefit? Can he learn from the sideline, or is the most valuable experience, even if it's not going well, being out on the field?
I think it's probably the best thing that could happen to him. Just taking a break because of the elbow right now and just watching and just seeing the speed and just seeing things moving from a different perspective from the sideline right now and just seeing how, you know, things get managed from a different perspective than being in the middle of it. And so I think maybe missing 2 or 3 weeks might be good for him right now. And, I believe that you benefit a lot more from playing than not playing, but as hard as it's been for him right now and as fast as it's moving for him, I just think that this might be a good thing right now. Just let him sit and watch. Let a veteran go in there right now that's been through it. Let him kind of battle it out. It's going to be tough for him, too. I've been in that situation where bringing a quarterback off the bus stop and you throw him out there and he's trying to remember guys' names, much less, you know, protections. That's always the first thing he learns, protections, but just how to call a play and getting used to, you know, different way of doing things. I mean, it's hard. It's going to be hard this week, but I think it's going to be good for Josh to watch it all.
We're with Brian Baldinger, NFL Network analyst here on our AT&T hotline. So as you have watched the rookies, Brian, Allen, Rosen, Mayfield, Darnold, all starting now, is there one guy that's impressed you more than the others?
Well, you know, it's interesting watching Sam Darnold and what they did, Jeremy Bates, the offense coordinator there in New York. I mean, gosh, he was making the simplest throws, you know, the first month of the season. I mean, just check downs and, you know, one receiver routes, basically, and max protection. And they kind of spoon-fed him. And they struggled a little bit on offense. And then they played Denver 2 weeks ago. They ran the ball for 323 yards. And he really benefited from a running game that went crazy. And then last week, it's like they took the training wheels off. And I remember just watching it going, he made probably no less than a half a dozen, you know, big-time throws. I mean, the touchdown throw in the end zone was a stick throw. And you just go, oh, wow, this is starting to come on now. Now you got to back it up and you got to sustain it. But I thought last week he really stepped up. And it really looked like an NFL quarterback making big-time throws. He's really good on the move. He's a fast-twitch guy. I mean, he really looked good. And I think Baker has looked good every week, regardless. I mean, he just has receivers that can't catch his footballs right now. But he sees the field really well. He throws a deep ball probably better than any of these guys that have come out here. And I think he's been – I mean, I know what the record is and what our stats say, but when he misses, he doesn't miss by very much.
We, if you're on hold, we're going to get to your calls in a moment. We're wrapping things up with Brian. Colts, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the Bills' opponent on Sunday. Andrew Luck seems to be just fine coming back off the injury. He's throwing the ball a ton. They've been pretty productive in their passing game. When you have looked at Indianapolis, what have you seen, whether it's offense or defense? Can you give us a little bit of a handle on what you've seen from the Colts so far?
Well, I mean, they've probably been the most injured team in the league. I mean, there's weeks when you have to really study them. You really study them hard to find out who Andrew Luck is throwing to right now. But he has thrown 16 touchdown passes already. I mean, it's been unbelievable because a bunch of guys that people, you know, I mean, Eric Ebron, he never played like this in Detroit. And he leads with 6 touchdown passes right now. They've been playing without T.Y. Hilton, their best receiver. But, you know, they'll find out who Pascal is and Carlos Rogers is and some of these guys he's throwing to. It doesn't matter. He's got 2 rookie running backs that he hands off to. You know, Wilkins right now and Nai Hines. And so they kind of spread it around to a bunch of young guys. They've got as much as, in any given Sunday, 2 rookies on the offensive line that are starting. And I've seen as many as 3 rookies start some weeks. But they've done a pretty good job of protecting Andrew Luck. And Frank Reich is a good play caller. And he knows how to design offense. He showed it last year with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. And I think he's done a good job of kind of rebuilding Andrew Luck after missing so much time right now.
Brian Baldinger with us. You mentioned his breakdowns. They're really interesting to watch. You can do it on Twitter by following him, at BaldyNFL. You can also view his breakdowns. They're available at the NFL Game Pass. That's NFL.com/Game Pass if you want to check that out as well. Brian, thanks for giving us some time this morning, and enjoy the weekend of football, sir.
I plan on. You too, guys. Take care now. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian, very much.
Brian Baldinger with Howard and Jeremy this morning. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll take a timeout here. Talk a little bit more Bills. I got why your team is going to lose. New segment we're going to do here on the Nightcap at the top of the next hour. picked out a couple of teams that are definitely going to lose on Sunday. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer here on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR. Alex Nylander has a goal for the Rochester Americans. All right. A goal for Alex Nylander. He has 8 points, 9 points in 8 games now. He's over a point a game. That's all you need to know. Off to a great start for the Amerks. Could be deserving of a call-up at some point here. Tage Thompson has not done much. Really, most players in this team have not done much when you think about it through 7 games. Who's scoring?
It's really Eichel. The strangest thing is the third line has done nothing. The St. Louis players have not contributed much offensively at all, and that is a little disappointing in itself. I liked having Tage Thompson on this roster to open the season. However, it is looking like he could use some time down in the AHL.
Tage Thompson, for one thing, has been a bit of evidence that just having a great shot release is not enough. Because you've seen it. When he's gotten a little opening and he's wired a shot, holy cow, that comes off heavy of his stick. You got to have a little bit more to your game. That's why I'm actually interested. I'd like to see Olofsson up this season for that one thing. Can he do enough with the rest of his game where he can get himself to those spaces?
And that's why I say not yet, people. Calm down. Because he does need to work on the rest of everything. Because
he definitely does. Because in the preseason and even the prospects challenge, you saw it when he was able to get a shot off. It's filthy, but I did not see him consistently doing anything else. If he wasn't getting shots off, he was disappearing. Yeah. So that's why. Yeah, I think a full season in the AHL would be nice.
It's his first season in North America.
But there is a curiosity to see at some point here if he's going to be more than just a Mark Mancari.
Oh, for sure. It just, you know, it's his first season in North American ice as well.
Did I make that comparison yesterday, by the way, or was that Wednesday? Might have been Wednesday.
Might have been Wednesday.
Seventh round pick, just had a great shot.
No, it was yesterday, because you were tweeting about not wanting to be the Debbie Downer.
That's right. Yep, that was.
Yep, that was yesterday. But I decided not to step in on anything like that, because you know what? For the most part, you are kind of right. The prospects that we've hyped up, like a Baptiste and a Bailey and everything like that, it is
out.
Fun, though, to be able to have a seventh-round pick in the conversation.
That's true. To even have a guy that we know the name of.
Yeah.
All right. More next. I got a couple teams that I am guaranteeing are going to lose this week in the NFL. And then we'll hear from Greg Cosell later in the show. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.